The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un muy feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Amanda Dawn Christie telling you that if you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the International Radio Report. It is Sunday, February the 25th, 2024. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. And we are here every Sunday morning with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. And we do thank you for tuning in. You can reach us with any questions or comments by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. You can listen to our show live streaming, also archived at ckut.ca, the website for our radio station. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. You can join the group. We have 958 members. Our YouTube channel has each week's show plus previous shows archived there for you to go listen to. Just search for International Radio Report channel on YouTube and you can subscribe like 949 other people already have. We do have an X account as well at IRRCKUT, and we have 45 followers there. We hope you'll follow us as well. So we'll get going with some news. We have one major feature story coming up about a 100-year anniversary of radio in Africa. We'll be getting to that in the second part of today's show. First off, though, we talked in the past week about the cuts and closure of radio stations and sale of radio stations by Bell Media. We're now starting to get little dribs and drabs of people that have been let go from various radio, TV, etc. Steve Faggy, who has a interesting media blog here in Montreal called the Fagstein Blog, wrote a posting this week, and we've pulled out the excerpt relating to radio in Montreal. On the radio side in Montreal, CJAD AM 800 has cut afternoon host Natasha Hall and the Sunday morning trivia show co-host Dan Laxer. The loss of Hall isn't entirely unexpected. A schedule shuffle in 2021 to incorporate more unoriginal programming on the schedule meant merging her show with Aaron Rand's and making them co-hosts. That's the afternoon drive show. This made one of them an easier cut in the next round of layoffs. Aaron Rand, who is no stranger to having to carry on after his co-hosts get fired, paid tribute to Hall in a Facebook post, calling her a smart, talented, and a consummate radio professional who didn't deserve this outcome. With Dan Laxer's departure, Ken Connors is listed as the sole host now of the Sunday morning trivia show. Steve Faggy reports, quote, "I haven't seen any cuts at Shome, Virgin Radio, or TSN Radio in Montreal yet, despite the word, the sword of Damocles seeming to dangle above TSN 690's head, the station itself seems to have survived the latest round of cuts." And it was a comment to Steve's story. This is from a former Montreal broadcaster, Al Randall. He says, "Typical Bell Media accounting and actuary moves. Cut the longest serving and most experienced talent because they simply cost too much to maintain with salaries and benefits. Short-sighted, to say the least. Look for the demise of the Sunday morning trivia on CJD. With Laxer gone and Connors about to retire, it will be much less costly to fill that slot with national programming out of Toronto. Thanks to Bell Media, the state of English radio in Montreal is in great peril."
You know, we look at the type of cuts. How many times here on the show we've talked about how slowly we are getting more of a generic kind of radio that has programs that are not even local and that just play across the country on the same, you know, the different stations they own. And then they're wondering, well, you know, the ratings are down. People are not listening like they used to. Well, that's because of these types of cuts. You're cutting down on some of the favorite shows. Like, that trivia show is very popular on CJAD. And eventually will probably disappear. You can replace that with, yeah, programming that doesn't cost a lot for you. But there's a cost to it. You are losing listeners when that happens. And a lot of stations I've lost in the ratings over years because of these types of cuts, because you just don't want to pay the experienced people to be there.
Yeah, it's not definite yet about the trivia show. And as you said, that show is extremely popular on Sunday mornings. It's been there for years and years and years, with both current hosts about to leave, one being laid off and the other retiring. I'm not sure. You know, I would hope they'd try to keep it and find some new hosts. But, you know, as they say here in the comments, chances are they might look at that as an opportunity to get rid of a couple salaries there and put something, you know, that's less costly on the air. We'll just have to wait and see.
So in our next story, we have a Oklahoma radio station that's now playing Beyoncé's new country song after outcry. This is by Christopher Brito of CBS News. A country radio station in Oklahoma that received criticism earlier this week for not playing Beyoncé's new song, Texas Hold'em, is now playing the tune. KYKC-FM added the song to its country playlist. Roger Harris, a general manager for South Central Oklahoma Radio Enterprises, which oversees KYKC, told CBS News in an email Wednesday. Harris said it was also included in playlists of two other stations it oversees, KCFC-FM and KADA-FM. The move comes after a fan requested Texas Hold'em, a country song about Beyoncé's home state of Texas, only to have the request shut down by the station. The fan posted the reply to social media, which read that we do not play Beyoncé on KYKC as we are a country music station. The response generated outcry and accusations of racism online from the Beehive, Beyoncé's hardened fan base. Harris told CBS News that the station initially didn't know Beyoncé had released two country music songs, Texas Hold'em and 16 Carriages, following the Super Bowl, and explained that the response to the fan was a standard reply since KYKC doesn't play her music, but does on two of its others. In addition, Harris said KYKC didn't even have the song. Because we are a small station, we don't get serviced by the big labels like bigger stations do, he added. After emails, calls, and more requests flooded to the station, Harris said they made an effort to track it down, listened to it, and agreed that it sounded country. The station even wrote a post about it on social media. We have nothing against Beyoncé, and we wish her the best in her foray into country music, Harris told CBS News, adding that she's an icon. We actually wish that artists wouldn't get boxed into certain genres or formats, Harris said. If it's good music, it's good music. It's not the first time Beyoncé has been thrown into a controversy related to country music. During the 50th anniversary of the Country Music Awards in 2016, she performed a song, Daddy's Lessons, with the Chicks, which wasn't received well by some country music fans. You know, the battle of the genres is like, you know, this isn't that type of song, this isn't country, this isn't pop, this isn't this, this isn't that. Often we'll take an artist and say, well, that's this type of music. Often overlook that, well, maybe sometimes they do other things or something that sounds more either country-ish or any other type of genres like that. And of course, you know, there's different types of outcry.
I'm sure they were probably playing Darius Rucker, who is a black artist but does country music.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just saw Beyoncé, and I mean, she's really well known for basically one thing. And I was just joking, had somebody watch the Grammy Awards, I noticed Beyoncé sitting there with a cowboy hat on, and I thought, this is kind of weird. Why is she wearing a cowboy hat? I didn't know that she had recorded these country songs, so now it all makes sense. But at the time, I just thought, this is a little weird. But anyway, so now if you're in Oklahoma, anywhere near that radio station, You can hear the Beyonce country music songs, which I have not heard yet. So I don't know just how country they are. So
like I said earlier, is like, you know, just hearing Beyonce for me is enough.
Yeah. I'm sure Jay-Z will have some complaints about that had they not played it, decided not to play it. So anyways, on to the next story. And this one is about a BBC World Service documentary that you might want to go and listen to. It is available online. It's called Worldwide Waves 24. The BBC World Service has this 50-minute documentary available for listening online on their documentaries page of the World Service website, and we'll post the link up. It's actually, if you go to bbc.co.uk and look under programs, you'll find the documentaries listed there, and you can track this one down. And here's their description of this particular documentary. Radio can be a lifeline for women, a place to speak out in safety, a place to find their voices. We hear from women taking to the air and making waves in the cracks left by the Taliban in Afghanistan, in Fiji's scattered archipelago threatened by climate change, in the migrant farm workers community of the Yakima Valley in North America's Pacific Northwest, and in the Ecuadorian Amazon, where indigenous women are coming together to save their land from pollution and destruction by oil companies. A feast of women's voices from around the world, open, brave, joyful, and full of life and music. Special thanks go to Mark Wilden for additional rainforest sound and to Sigmund Tees for permission to use sound excerpts from his film Radio Women from the Rainforest in this documentary. So this sounds pretty interesting, definitely with a radio theme and focusing on women in radio. So again, it's called Worldwide Waves, and it's on the documentaries page of the BBC World Service website. And on our posting of the show, we'll have the link to the actual documentary there for you.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun is extremely active. As we're recording this on Friday, the sun in the last 24 hours had three X-class solar flares, some of the most powerful flares that can happen on the sun. X1.8, 1.7, and X6.3. But so far, what's very interesting is that even though these are powerful, there has not been a release of much of a coronal mass ejection from them. So we are wondering what are going to be the effects. We are expecting more flaring. This sunspot AR3590 is very big. And by the way, if you have solar glasses that you can watch an eclipse with, for example, you can actually use them. You will, with just your naked eyes, see the sunspot. It's big enough that it's visible if you use solar glasses right now. So we expect, of course, this to continue. The sunspot is very complex, so we might have other flares happening. With the flares often comes radio blackouts that last anywhere from a few minutes to an hour, and then things come back to normal. We'll also be checking for any coronal mass ejections that could happen, because that could impact the geomagnetic field. So we're going to be looking at that in the coming days also. The sunspot number 46, the solar flux 173. And if you want to witness all of this activity and use the great propagation that could also come from it, you got to turn on a radio and listen.
I'm Skip Airy, N2EI of Southern New Jersey. If you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
We next have a feature story, and we thank Marty, who posted this to Thomas Witherspoon's SWLing post, and it comes from a publication called The Conversation. It is the 100 Years of Radio in Africa feature, from propaganda to people's power. And we talk about radio in Africa a lot on this program. It's an area of the world where radio is still absolutely essential and extremely popular. So we thought we'd feature this rather extended article and give you a little bit of the history of radio in the continent and where it's going, where it is now, and maybe what the future will hold. So radio is thriving across Africa. Exact figures are difficult to come by because audience research differs across countries, but studies estimate radio listenership to be between 60% and 80% of the continent's 1.4 billion population. In contrast to many Western countries, there has been a shift towards streaming and podcasts. Traditional radio continues to be widely embraced in Africa. Because of poor literacy levels and uneven access to the internet and technological infrastructure, old-fashioned radio remains a reliable and inclusive medium. This year's celebration of the 100 plus years of radio offers us an opportunity as African media scholars to reflect on the historic significance, cultural relevance, political power, and social impact of the medium on the continent. We zero in on examples from the regions we've studied to demonstrate this rich history.
So the early years. The story of radio in Africa starts with its introduction to serve colonial interests. Cameroonian scholar Francis Nyamjo argues that as soon as it had established itself as a mass medium in the 1920s, European states were quick to realize the part radio could play in realizing their desire to swallow up weaker cultures around the globe. Historians note that it also allowed Europeans in the colonies to connect to home, their culture, and their languages. In the early 1920s, amateur radio enthusiasts had already begun tinkering with the technology. The first official broadcast seems to have been on December 18, 1923, in Johannesburg, South Africa. In East Africa, radio was first introduced in Kenya in 1927 and in West Africa to Sierra Leone in 1934. UK media scholar Graham Mitton writes that the arrival of radio in West Africa's British colonies, the Gambia, Sierra Leone, Gold Coast, now Ghana, and Nigeria, marked a turning point. Until then, radio had been broadcast by wireless transmission. When it was introduced in Sierra Leone, Ghana, 1935, in Nigeria in 1936, it was via wired services. Subscribers had loudspeakers linked by wire to the radio station, installed in their homes to receive the service. These were created with native African listeners in mind. Then in 1936, the British colonial administration decided to develop radio broadcasting throughout its African colonies.
Next, we look at propaganda. Colonial powers such as the UK and France upped their radio transmission efforts after the outbreak of the Second World War in 1939. The 1940s were marked by the introduction of indigenous language broadcasts by colonial powers wanting to influence public opinion and garner support for their war effort. While the British broadcast to Africa in some African languages, France broadcast only in French. This laid the groundwork for future developments. After the war, the British officially adopted a policy of extending broadcasting services across most of its African colonies. In Kenya, for example, the first broadcast service for Africans began in 1953, transmitting in local languages during the state of emergency declared in 1952 to suppress the Mau Mau uprising. Academics have argued that despite being designed mainly for propaganda, radio in Africa was always far more multifaceted and slippery than was intended by colonial powers. It also offered the ability to create new and sometimes unruly publics.
Resistance radio. The 1950s saw the expansion and transformation of radio in Africa. Radio stations across British, French, and Belgian colonies rapidly increased as people under colonial rule increased their efforts to achieve independence. In the mid-1950s, the oldest liberation station in Africa, Radio Freedom, was established as an underground station in Zambia by South Africa's resistance movement. It would air its first formal broadcast in 1963. In Angola, radio expanded with the outbreak of war in 1961 between liberation movements and the Portuguese colonial state. Liberation movements in neighboring countries used radio for war reporting amid colonial censorship. For their part, colonial state radio fostered the emergence of local artists, music as part of their colonial propaganda, independence, and state control. From the late 1940s to the early 1960s, the number of radio-receiving sets increased fivefold, from 90 sets per 1,000 people in Africa to 450. In some respects, the 1960s was a golden era for African radio. A wave of independence movement birthed new nations as radio technology was becoming more affordable. Many newly independent countries established national broadcasting services, like the Gambia in 1965. This expanded the reach of radio and the opportunity to embrace local languages, music, and cultural programming. In Nigeria, the Broadcasting Corporation expanded to cover the whole country. But some newly independent countries that had inherited state-controlled broadcasting systems also censored content deemed critical or threatening, restricting freedom of expression. With independence in Angola in 1975, for example, the new leaders saw radio as a tool for nation building, but tightened the grip after a coup attempt in 1977. And many African countries, Angola included, post-colonial state control of radio continues. Zimbabwe's radio sector, for example, is thriving, but state control remains strong, with biased licensing for national radio and restrictive laws for community radio stations. The Mauritius Broadcasting Corporation was established in 1964 and still operates as a state broadcaster. Despite funding through public license fees and advertising, it's perceived to promote government agendas. Radio has also been used to promote nefarious political ends. The 1994 genocide in Rwanda stands as a painful example. The infamous Radio Télévision Libre d'Émile Collines disseminated hate speech and incited violence against the Tutsi minority.
And we look at private commercial stations. Over the last 40 years, many African countries have liberalized their economies and their media regulations, issuing commercial and community radio licenses. In Ghana, for example, radio primarily served elite interests until the 1990s, when private ownership diversified the industry. By 2022, Ghana boasted 513 radio stations, ranging across public, commercial, community, campus, and foreign broadcasts. An essential development has been the emergence of indigenous language radio. This has produced culturally resonant content and prioritized community issues, but challenges persist. Some stations are affiliated with political or business interests, and increased attacks on journalists pose risks to media freedom and diversity. In recent decades, Kenya's radio landscape has transformed to over 200 stations. Private commercial stations now dominate broadcasting in local languages. In Mauritius, airwaves were liberalized in 2002, introducing private stations. Talk shows, especially in the Mauritian Creole language, have revolutionized radio. Private radio has expanded to digital platforms, engaging audiences through live streams and social media, creating both competition and sensationalist coverage.
And radio now. Digital convergence is reshaping radio consumption, blurring audience patterns. This isn't happening uniformly across a continent. Digital platforms face challenges such as the digital divide and economic inequality. Radio's influence is likely to endure, with podcasts complementing rather than replacing traditional broadcasts. A 2022 survey across 34 African countries found radio was overwhelmingly the most common source of news. This is a testament to its enduring influence and unique ability to connect with diverse audiences, even a century after its introduction. So this is a powerful article showing how radio is extremely important and has shaped pretty much the face of Africa in many ways over the years and the decades.
You and I were both active shortwave listeners when the tropical bands were filled with shortwave transmissions from Africa, particularly from the west coast of Africa. You could hear them as, you know, in our late evening into early morning as their morning shows were starting, and then in our late afternoon as their evening shows were getting close to shutting down. And it really introduced us to a lot of things that were going on in a part of the world that conventional media was just not talking about at all. Sadly, most of those shortwave broadcasters are gone now, but there are still ways for us to tune in and listen to these African radio stations in these different countries, numerous ways to do it. Shortwave people are familiar with the online SDRs, so you can tune to different countries and listen through the SDRs. Another way, though, is the streaming, the Radio Garden website that we've talked about a lot, where you call up the map, swing it around to Africa, and anytime you see a little green dot, click on it, and you're going to be hearing some local domestic radio station in all of the different countries of Africa. It's really interesting to listen to. We learn a lot about them, about the countries. If you like, you know, local music from all of these different places, just hearing the language sometimes is fun. It's a great place to listen and hearing things that you're not going to hear anywhere else.
And, you know, it shaped our understanding of Africa also for us, because shortwave radio is a great tool for that. And, you know, if you don't listen to African stations, you can also get, you know, news of what's happening in Africa on several outlets also. I listen to the BBC World Service, for example, which will talk about things we never hear in the media here on TV or radio. So Radio France International is another great, great station that has tremendous coverage of Africa, unbiased for most part. It's sure not the same as listening to the actual stations from the African countries, but at least it keeps you connected with what's happening in Africa. There's so much happening in Africa that we just don't hear.
Yeah, there's even some stations on shortwave that are, I guess they're classified as clandestine stations. They're not necessarily supportive of the governing party in a country, and they may have broadcast-created opposition broadcasts, but obviously not broadcast from within the country, but from outside. And that's one of the uses of international broadcasting that's still out there today. So good to see the radio still thriving. You know, for all those people, radio is dead. Well, don't go to Africa. You know, if you do, bring a radio. The one thing I have heard, though, was somebody that was visiting Africa, very little left on the AM band. A lot has gone over to FM, and that seems to be where most of these new stations have popped up. Much in a lot less expensive to set up an FM station as it is to set up an AM station. So if you ever get to go to Africa, make sure you have an FM radio with you. Lots of different things to listen to.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We have three events coming up next weekend. One is extended, actually. It is the Novice Rig Roundup. It's running on 80, 40, 15, 10, and 2 meters, running from 0-100 Zulu March the 2nd all the way through 2359 Zulu on March the 10th. It's CW only, though. And you can look up all the information, noviceriggroundup.org. So this is kind of for new people to get on the radio and try to make some contacts.
There's the American Radio Relay League International DX Contest, SSB, from 0 hours Zulu March 2nd to 2359 Zulu March the 3rd. It's 160 through 10 meters, no warg bands, and it's phone SSB.
And this, I think, is a new event. It's called, it's put together by the Nova Scotia Amateur Radio Association, and they're just calling it NSARA Contest. It's taking place on March the 3rd, but in two separate sessions, a morning session from 1200 to 1600 UTC, and the afternoon session from 1800 to 2200 UTC. It's only on 80 meters, but it's CW, SSB, and digital. So this is something brand new. I haven't seen this contest before. So you can check that one out from Nova Scotia.
And we are out of time.
We want to thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the program. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back again next Sunday morning, and we'll have news coming up on the soon-to-happen funding drive, the annual funding drive here at CKUT. So stay tuned in the weeks ahead for information about that. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to the Free Kick Radio Show on CKUT, and right now...